It's true, 4th of July. We're here to heal on the club of the 4th of July. I'm going to read some random quotes from the Jill Lepore History of the United States entitled These Truths. For a miny... Okay, page 329 of Citizens, Persons, and People. For a minor and petty political win over the Democratic Party, Republicans first committed electoral fraud and then, in brokering a compromise, abandoned a century-long fight for civil rights. Dreaming of the... A founder and principal orator of the populist movement, Lease believed that after the Civil War, the federal government had conspired with corporations and bankers to wrest political power from ordinary people like farmers and factory workers. 333. After the war, political power moved from the states to the federal government, and as the political influence of the South waned, the importance of the West rose. In measures that began as exigencies of war, the federal government forced native peoples off their land while providing corporations with incentives to build railroads. In a single 10-year span, Congress granted more than 100 million acres of public lands to railroad companies. The populist revolt began when farmers started banding together and calling for cooperative farming and regulation of banks and railroads and an end to corporate monopolies. The Dawes Act granted to the federal government the authority to divide Indian lands into allotments and guaranteed U.S. citizenship to Indians who agreed to live on those allotments and renounce tribal membership. Dreaming is free. In Progress and Poverty, an inquiry into the causes of industrial depressions and of increase of want with increase of wealth, published in 1879, Henry George, argued that the very same technological progress that brought so many marvels brought wealth to the few and poverty to the many. The story of America, and that's who we are today. In these United States of America on July 4th, 2023, life is a fucking nightmare. It's a race to the bottom. You gotta fight through all the layers of the filth and the shit and the muck. Shove it in your mouth. Eat those maggots. Fuck those kids. Yeah. Just do whatever you can to survive. Kill anyone who's in the way. Fuck you. I'm American. Fuck you. This is capitalism. I'm gonna suck you dry. That's our country, and my guest today is Tess Vergault. Tess Vergault has appeared on this podcast many times. Great podcast, the best podcast. This is the best country in the world. We are doing fine. It's still happening. It's a good day to be alive and to this is a super good time podcast. Trigger warning: there is if you have sensitivity or if you get upset by stories of like rape and stuff, maybe don't listen at the end, but listen to most of it. And you'll have a good time. It's a fun podcast. This is called The Healing Club, and Tess Vergault is once again my guest. Happy 4th of July, everybody. I'm a veteran. I believe in freedom. I'm just trying to get by. I'm just here to be loved. I just want to be liked. And I want to
do a good job, and I hope this is a good podcast, and you know what, you guys, I don't care if you barbecue. Over here, come over here and try to just talk to this mic. I don't think this mic is even working very well. This mic's better.
All right.
Okay.
Should I put this one away?
Yeah, just leave it right there. Maybe two, you know, it takes two. It's
two to tango.
Yeah. Tess.
Bob, what's going on?
It's been a long night.
It has been a really long night.
Yep. We're out here at the open mic scene in Houston, Texas.
I like how you did the accent.
Comedy Central ignored and...
The city with no industry.
The fucking city that never cares.
Can I be honest? I actually like that there's no industry here because I never feel pressure to perform better. I'm like, okay.
I never feel pressure. I want to try new things every time I go up.
Yeah.
And I don't really feel this terrible pressure that, like, it has to be perfect.
Yeah, because there's not anyone important watching.
And the people who do run things are great. Just really, really good. Yeah, really, really good people running everything in Houston, including me.
They're all fantastic.
You run a show in Houston. You're like a good, good gatekeeper. Tess,
I'm a fair gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a new gatekeeper because the show's only been running for about a year. But I do think I do take pride in who I book and, like, who should be booked. And if you haven't been booked, then...
Fuck you!
Guess what?
You!
If you haven't been booked, you suck.
Fuck you! All right. It's
because it's not hard to get booked.
I know.
No.
All you gotta do is hang out. All you gotta do is hang out a little bit.
Don't just hang out. Yeah. Be good on stage. Thank you. Good
night. Actually, it's better to be good on stage. I think I write a lot of good jokes. I'm so good at comedy because I write good jokes.
I like your writing style a lot.
Yeah. And you fucked me up tonight because I wanted to do different jokes, but then I felt like I had to do funny jokes instead of like the jokes I just wanted to do. Because you were funny and then it fucked me up and I had to follow you and it was like, and now I got to do shit that I know is going to work.
No.
And I'm like, God damn it, you're like a woman again. like ruining my plan.
That's why they don't like to have me. I'm just a woman all the time.
Yeah.
No, you should always do what you wanted to do.
Yeah, well.
But I'm happy that I fucked you up a little bit.
No, sorry.
You had a good set tonight.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was pretty good. I didn't really.
What's the high-pitched voice?
I don't know. Hey, it's fine. We hosted the successful show at the Secret Group, and then I ran into you at Rudyard's, and you went right before me at Rudyard's.
Yeah.
And it was good times.
It was a fun night. How did the successful show go tonight? I know we talked about it a little bit.
Decent. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Was it successful?
20 people.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, for a Monday night at 8 p.m. at the Secret Group.
The half room setup, 20 people is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, it was fine. And we had there was joy, there was laughter, there was Cody, there was me, there was Emily.
There was success.
Yeah, there was more.
There were other comics we won't name? No.
It was enough. You know, people got their $5 money's worth. And
that's nice that it's ticketed. I wish my show was ticketed.
I'm a full-fledged adult.
Are you?
I'm like a goddamn human being. I'm like a...
You do have your own place. I don't feel like an adult right now because I live at home.
With your parents?
Yeah, it's been stressful to live with them. It's been, like, nice to have a place that's clean and, like, well put together, but at the same time, I don't like the stress of having, like, parents watching you while you're living your adult life. It's very different than watching you living your childhood life because they're like, oh, I can have input here. But when you're an adult, they can't really have input, but they want to so badly. And you're like, yikes, sorry.
I moved back to Chicago in 2016 And I had been away since 2001. Shit. And my sister took me in to her place for about a week.
It only lasted a week?
Yeah. It was like, I couldn't stand it.
Is she your older sister? Or younger?
Yeah, she's 14 years older than me. I first lived with her for a year when I was 18, and she was 32 in New York City in 1998. And
year I was born. Okay.
And then it was like a little more, I could deal with a New York City apartment that was maybe only slightly smaller than this apartment that we're in right now.
What's the square footage?
It was slightly bigger, because she had a bedroom, but I had just a couch, and I slept on the futon in the living room area. And but I had no space, and it was before cell phones, and I couldn't like take calls. I had like no personal time, and she monitored everything I did, and she was a PhD candidate, and she was just finishing her dissertation at Columbia University, and
she's a genius. Was she like watching you like a parent, or
she was just around
chill?
All the time, and I was like taking classes at Hunter College in New York City, and she had like helped me get into audit classes because I couldn't go for real credit because I was so late in the but she was like, you're gonna go do something productive. And then she was getting money from my mom for rent every month, but she was like, you know, like I had like my time was like accounted for every moment. Okay. And she's organized, and she knew
everything.
I felt micromanaged, and then when I moved back to Chicago, in like for the brief amount of time in 2016 after I broke up with my ex. And decided to just like try to move to Chicago and do comedy in Chicago again, and like just make a new start and leave the old city and leave the old relationship and just like branch out and explore and do something different. And I was like, well, first I gotta just like live somewhere. And so I lived at my sister's, and she had like a 15-year-old son.
So you were living with a child too.
And she was like, I'm gonna sleep on my son's, I'll sleep on the top bunk of, like, he's got a bunk bed. You sleep in my bed. And, I'm going to sleep. And she was, like, reading to him at, like, when he was 15.
At 15? Is he okay?
He's normal.
Okay.
He's going to Loyola University, Chicago now. And she doesn't read to him his texts that he needs to, when I stayed there, I was sleeping in her bed, and I held off from jacking off for like 4 days. And then it was like silent at night, and I was like, all right, everybody's asleep, I'm gonna jack off. And like real silent, like real slow, real, you know, just real Jimmy Stewart jack slow. Off, just jack off like it's the movie Vertigo. All right, rear window, somebody's looking in the window, and okay, I'm just gonna be real silent, and I'll just a tiny cum, and then I wake up the next day, and I go looking for jobs, and I come back, and she's got like napkins laid out on her bed, like, don't jack off on my bed, here's some. And
she wrote
you
a note about it?
Like, because she heard in the middle of the night me going like, oh, yeah, oh, good,
like, is Jimmy Stewart
I'm so horny, oh, that's so good to come in my sister's bed, yeah. And
have you ever fucked in your parents' bed?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good, you're sane.
All right, so it was her bed, and yeah, I did come in it.
Well, okay.
But, so she did have a right to just lay out some napkins and some...
But you gotta, I mean, like, if you're gonna let your brother live with you and sleep in your bed, you gotta know he's gonna jack off at some point. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky enough where, like, the bed that I'm sleeping on now, my parents' house, is my mattress that I currently own.
Yeah.
Like, it's just on a bed frame.
It came from your old apartment when you were single and you were, independent, and you could jack off on your own, and the juices could just.
But I do have to listen to porn with earphones now.
Oh, yeah.
Which
I never.
Sucks, because when the earphones die, it's like.
Do you listen to the porn or you just watch it?
I do. I need to hear the sound, because otherwise I'm hearing my own breathing, and that's scarier, you know? It's more like me holding my breath, which is how I come. But I will say it's weird living with parents, because not only are they like, I mean, not only do they care about like when I come and leave, but they also care about when I come. No, I'm just kidding. No, they
I like people's about it.
They have cameras on like all sides of the house now, which they didn't have when I was growing up. So they can literally like see
if somebody's climbing into your window to like.
They can go back and check the cameras to see what time I came home, and my mom is like,
"You have a curfew?
I don't have a curfew. Okay, you're 25. But my mom does like to tell me that I don't get enough sleep.
When do you have to work tomorrow?
I don't have work tomorrow. Oh, nice. Which is why I'm here right now.
Okay, yeah. It's currently 2:34 a.m.
Absolutely.
I don't have work tomorrow either.
If I had work tomorrow, I'd definitely be back.
I wouldn't want to be doing a podcast at 2:30 if I had work tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm old enough to want to keep my job. That's
nice. Yeah. Me too.
There were some years where I didn't give a fuck.
But you also don't have to work in the morning. I have work. When I have work, I have to get there at 8 a.m. So.
Yeah, I have to be there at 11. And then my boss shows up half an hour late, and and I'm just standing out in the sun.
That means you can be half an hour late.
That's
all I'm saying. All
right.
I show up 5 minutes late, and they're like, "You're late." And I'm like, "Come on. It's 5 minutes. Give me some leeway here. It's early. I'm a host."
Yep. I'm not a host. I'm not a hoe either.
But you were a hoe. Used to be a hoe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, because I used to be a hoe, and I can see it in your eyes.
I've been a hoe. I empathize with the strippers at the strip club, where I'm a DJ at the strip club, because I've been a hoe.
Yeah.
I've been a hoe. Yeah. I've fucked for money, and for...
You have?
Bicycly.
I thought you were like
bicycling. No, like, bicycling. Not bicycle. My dick bicycle. I was like, what was that Nicki Minaj song? She says like side to side with the Ariana Grande song where she says like blah 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 dick bicycle.
Walking from side. Yeah. Wait, no, I've got that
wrong. I didn't. Dick bicycle is when you're riding a dick and you're like making your like little strides like you're on a bicycle.
Yeah, you're pedaling fast.
And that's like your dick bicycle.
I've never and, like, fucked for money, but I have been given groceries by somebody before.
Yeah. I've sold some artwork for money when it wasn't worth shit. And they gave me $2,000 to buy a computer.
That's really nice.
And,
That's really nice. And, like, no, I was just so broke that a guy, like, gave me some bread and milk and stuff. And I was like, "You're nice. Thank you. I need this."
Yeah.
But I didn't have to fuck him for it. We were dating.
I did. I had to suck that dick. I had to slurp it down. Yeah, we were talking about, like, could you identify dicks in a lineup?
Oh, yeah.
Really, only the bad dicks stick out. Like, the worst dicks, like the most, like,
disgusting
the smell
ones.
Sticks out.
The smell.
Yeah, the...
But if you're seeing a picture, you can't smell the smell.
Yeah, but the picture also, like, a picture tells 1,000 words.
Yeah, and usually, like, 500 of those words are smell.
Yeah.
You know. I really only think I could pick 2 dicks out of a lineup at this point in my life. It's like the most recent dick I have been associated with. And then the one that looked most distinctive.
Yeah.
My like first love. No. Any of the, like the guys I fucked who I were like, this is amazing sex. I could not pick their dick up out of a lineup.
What was that one Justin Bieber song?
Baby.
Yeah,
baby,
where he's
baby,
like, when I was 13, she was my first love.
Ain't nobody.
Didn't know Starbucks. She woke me up.
I wish I knew it better. What was it? Justin Bieber.
I used to sing that to Kisses. I used to go, baby, 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 ooh.
It is weird that Kisses isn't here.
Kisses is gone. Kisses is gone. R.I.P. little baby.
The best cat in the world.
She was the best cat in the world.
She was really sweet. There's only like 2 cats I've met that like actually came up to you and like were sweet and wanted to like hang and chill.
Yeah, that you could just like fuck with and make them hiss, but then they would just be purring afterward. Mm-hmm. And then, you know.
I had a cat. Like, I didn't have it, but when I moved into my first apartment, there the people below me had a cat, and it was an outside cat, so it used to come up to my apartment every night, and I would let it in, uh-huh. and we would just, like, cuddle and, like, have a good time, and, like, I used to think, like, these people don't know that their cat is cheating on them with me every yeah. single night.
Secret Life of Cats. I saw a documentary about that.
Yeah.
About cats that cheat.
I also think, like, when a woman moves into a place yeah. alone, cats just know to go to her. They're like, oh, it's a single woman. I'm a cat. She yeah. needs me.
They smell the dirty, you know, lady, you know.
Not even dirty. They just smell a pussy that hasn't been touched in months. And they're like, oh. She lonely. Mm. She needs me.
Yeah, dogs are trash. Dogs are nothing. If you're a dog fan, fuck you. Fuck you with your dog.
Okay.
Nobody loves your dog.
Okay, okay. Right? Hold on.
If
hold
I
on.
Don't like something, nobody's allowed to like it. Okay. I don't like dogs. If you like dogs, go fuck okay. yourself. Okay, fuck hold on. You.
I'll fuck myself fuck so hard tonight.
Fuck off.
Dogs are God, okay? Dogs are beautiful creatures.
Mm-hmm.
They're so cute.
Yeah, but you don't want one in the house.
Yes, you do. You yeah. want a dog in the house.
You don't
Bob,
want
it. I think I mean, you should like, get a dog next. I don't no, think... you can't take care of a dog. Never mind.
Hey, shut up. Yeah, you're right.
I would love to get a dog, but I can't take care of one to yeah. save my life.
I don't want to. Just... I don't want to take care of a dog. I don't really want a new cat. There's like my house doesn't have as many bugs because they don't have a box of shit. In the apartment.
That's so nice.
It's like, I love the cat, did not love the bugs. And
I didn't even realize that a litter box would like attract bugs like that.
Well, yeah. Cats are filthy.
I always figure like a cat is the creature that kills the bug.
Yeah, it doesn't really work that way. Cats okay. love bugs. They love rolling in bugs. They love attracting bugs and, like, playing with roaches and bringing them, like, inviting them over. And
maybe I'm a cat. I love inviting roaches over. Yeah, it's like, oh. They fuck great. No.
I'm not squeamish about roaches, but rats are... Like, a reason why I would want a cat.
Gigantic animal.
Cats get rid of rats.
Do you have rats here?
No.
Oh, okay.
But, like, rats, I've lived in places with rats. When I was 20, I lived in a place in New Orleans that had, like, a real bad rat problem.
It was terrifying.
$400 a month for a two-bedroom apartment I was sharing with a friend. And we were each paying $200 a month in the year, like, 2003.
And God, that's cheap. Okay. No. Maybe it wasn't cheap back then.
I couldn't afford it.
$200 a month is a steal.
I couldn't hang. I was struggling real hard but at the place there were rats that would like die on the floor, and we were both such gross pigs. That,
you like, would just leave them there?
Yeah, and then the roaches would carry the rats like
no,
under the and they would like no. all swarm and eat the dead. The roaches would like pull the rats like across the room to eat them.
That's insane to me because I treat roaches like they're rats. Like when there's yeah. a roach in the house, I will not go near it. I'll treat it like there needs to be a trap there. Like I can't smush one. Like I have to have a spray or something. No.
I've always heard that like smashing a roach in your house and killing it on the floor attracts other roaches.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I try to just like them. Yeah, but if it's a dead roach, I just sweep it up and like throw it away. But like if there's like a live roach, I'll try to sweep it up and like throw it out the door.
There
instead
is,
of killing it no. in the apartment.
There's a roach in my home right now that I think I've trapped in the bathroom, although it could have escaped under the door.
Mm-hmm.
But I refuse to go in the bathroom now.
You
until my parents get back
yeah.
home and my dad gets back home in a couple days, I'm going to make him go in there yeah. and deal with the roach.
The only time I ever clean my shower, scrub the shower is if there's a roach dead on the,
that's the only time.
it's like,
I don't know. I'm just glad because it was in my room and then it went to the bathroom, but I was still like really afraid. So I just closed all the doors. I don't know. I roaches give me this weird feeling up my spine. I don't know if you have a fear that does that to you. You know what? Yeah. Like, goes all the way up and you get a chill. And you can feel it in your neck.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I woke up screaming the other night.
Yeah.
From a fear like that. Yeah. Well, I woke up screaming because I was spooked by a book I was reading.
What was the dream you had? You were running away from a kidnapper?
Yeah, I was holding a baby and people were trying to...
Was it your baby?
I don't know. No, it wasn't my baby. Okay. But I was holding a baby and people were trying to kidnap me and kill both of us. And then I was screaming as loud as I could in my dream. And then I was screaming.
Andy woke
up and was like, "You're screaming." And I was like...
Do you know who the people were in the dream? Or they were
No. It was just because I'd read a book called The Robber Bridegroom by Eudora Welty. And in the book, it's set in the early 1800s in rural Mississippi and on the Natchez Trail. And this one dude who's a guy with a bag of gold goes to set up a plantation, and he's with his wife and his two twin babies.
Oh no.
And and they're captured by Native Americans, and the Native Americans take the baby that's named after him and throw him in a vat of boiling oil.
Nice.
And then that feeling of somebody took my baby and threw it in a vat of boiling oil.
Have you ever wanted a baby?
No. But
You can feel it when you're in a dream.
Yeah, when you're reading a book about that, then I go to sleep the night it invaded my dream, and yeah, I was feeling and this is not to say that I think that Native Americans are evil or stuff like that did happen.
But if you read about a baby getting killed, either way, yeah. The Native Americans did not deserve what they got. But
they were fighting back against white.
You don't want a baby to die. Maybe you should have filmed the guy in the vat of acid, not the fucking or the oil, not the fucking baby. But that
was a great book. That was a really great book. Yeah. But I like to read a lot, and I like to read a lot of history. I like to read a lot of fiction.
Do you get a lot of dreams because of your books, or?
I don't know. It doesn't happen that often, but that one did. It was a really powerful image that I just slept on. Probably also because I was spending so much time working as a DJ at the strip club, and I get a lot of bad dreams working at the strip club if I'm there too much.
Have you gotten dreams about the strip club?
Yeah. I had one in which my boss, my manager there, told me to go follow some drug dealers. And I was like, no, I just want to play music. I just want to bring the girls on stage. He's like, no, you got to go follow those guys. And I was like, okay, I'll do whatever you say because you're the boss. And he's like, yeah. And I got cornered by the dudes that I was following. And then I was thrown into a trunk of a car and I was taken off to get killed. And then I was screaming in my sleep.
I'm not having my baby. No.
And I was so pissed at my boss when I woke up. I was like, this is your fault that I got trapped in a trunk of a car because of drug dealers.
Have you ever had one of those dreams? It's interesting you say that about your boss. Have you ever had a dream where someone cheated on you and you woke up mad at them? Is that
that
happens a lot to people? Or there's stereotype where girls have a dream about their boyfriend being mad at them and they're like, fuck you, you were mean to me in my dream.
That was a Jim Gaffigan joke where you wake up and you're mad at somebody. Of course I'm mad at you. You pushed me off a cliff last night.
Just wake up real angry.
I've had dreams where I've cut off my friends' heads.
Interesting.
My friend Muffy one time, when I was in college in 2000, I was in Champaign, Illinois, and I was having a dream where she was a dance major at U of I, University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. And she was doing this dance performance and she included me in it. And then my part was to cut off her head. And I was it was supposed to go well. I thought it was choreographed and it was part of the performance. Yeah. And so I cut off her head in front of a big audience and then she died. And then I was responsible. And then I woke up and I called her and I was like, I cut off your head in a dream. And she thought it was weird.
If that's really interesting. I always think it's weird, like, how things manifest in your dreams. Because, like, I've never had a dream where I killed somebody. But I have had a lot of dreams where murder takes place. And it's really bloody.
Uh-huh.
And it happens to me all the time. I fucking hate it.
You have
like people
dreams.
I know killing each other. Or, like, I had this one dream a while ago where, like, there was this guy chasing, like, killed a bunch of people and, like, was chasing me. And I was going over, like, you know, like a neighborhood where you're just going over fences into backyards. I was just doing that over and over again. I finally escaped. And then I got back to my home and I realized the murderer was my son. I don't have any children.
You didn't have a son, but...
I don't have any children. But it was, like, a weird twist ending. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh.
I don't know.
I'm so scared of my mom dying. She's 79 years old.
Isn't that the worst feeling in the world?
Ugh.
I feel like when my mom dies, I'm going to kill myself. I really do. I'm like, I don't want to live here if my parents aren't here. What the fuck?
I did a joke tonight where I said that my only goal in life was to outlive my cat. And now she died.
Well,
I'm like, what the
fuck? You're not reaching your goals, Bob.
I did reach my goal. But now what do I do? She's dead. And,
That's not a good goal to reach, though.
Yeah.
To outlive your cat. You can outlive every pet you have.
It seemed unrealistic because she always seemed so lively. But also it seems unrealistic that my mom will ever die. It seems like that's never going to happen.
Yeah. Because
she's so spry.
How often do you talk to her?
Every month.
Every month?
About. Yeah, I talk to her about once a month.
Once a month?
Yeah.
What does she say usually?
Doing fine.
What kind of mom is she?
She's fine. She's got a new dog.
Is she like a regular Chicago mom? I don't know what Chicago moms are like.
She's a...
She neurotic? Is she like laid back?
She was a nurse for 40 years. And
she used to perform abortions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't like to talk about that now. She's kind of anti-abortion now, which is weird to me because she used to perform them. I don't know. That's a really
weird flip.
For 10 years. Like, you know, lots of people. And I think, but she's with a guy now who's like Mike Pence. She's dating this guy named Mike Pence. And
that's always really upsetting when someone gets into a relationship. Who have completely different beliefs and they just kind of like convert them.
Yeah, I don't know them that well, but I know that me being a degenerate comedian, DJ, fuckwad from like who.
I wouldn't call you a degenerate.
I don't know.
I would just say maybe you don't live a quote-unquote normal lifestyle for someone who's Mike Pence. But that's fucking stupid.
I'm pretty clean. I'm loyal. I'm dependable. I'm trustworthy. I'm honest. I try to like do right by everybody that, you know, like this one time I was at the strip club and I was telling a dancer, like, I just want to like get into teaching or something or do something that'll like
change people's lives.
Do some
lives.
Good for the world.
You don't think you're doing good for people at the strip club?
She's like, why don't you try to do good for the world, like doing what you do every day, rather than putting it off into some nebulous future that may or may not ever happen. Mm-hmm. But you have choice to do something good where you are, even if where you are sucks. I get it. We're here. But you could be good here in a way that could have just as much of an effect as if
you know what that reminds me, I watched Groundhog Day today.
Oh, you did? I just watched it about a month ago.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, that's kind of the message of that whole movie, you know? He like, I think he spends like 30 years in that loop or something. Just like,
could be longer. I don't know.
I was reading about it. They said he spent like 33 years in the loop or something. That was like the thing they gave, but you know, he spends all this time, like, trying to, like, fuck with people. He spends a lot of time, like, trying to sleep with the girl.
Everyone in town. Yeah.
You know? And then the day, you know, that he actually, like, gets out of the loop is where he, like, helps everyone, tries to save everyone, give everyone like a good day. Like
when he learns piano and ice sculpting.
Yeah.
And enriching himself. And
gives a great speech about the town, and he finally like realizes, like, you know, even though I fucking hate it here, I can make the most out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate where I am so deeply.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah, I mean, I feel like that's how a lot of people feel all the time. Like, I was thinking, too, like, I really hate, like, I kind of hate a lot of stuff about my life right now. I do. I don't like that I'm living at home. I don't like where I am financially. I don't like where I am in my job. I don't like where I am in comedy. Like, there's a lot of stuff I don't like, and, sometimes I get really down about it, honestly, and I kind of have, like, a panic attack.
Recently, I was looking at ads. Andy, my boyfriend, and I watched Moonstruck the other day, but it was on like Pluto TV, so we had to watch it with ads. And some of the ads are like, you know, cheap cars for under $20,000. Like
cheap?
Like, I'm like,
what the fuck?
Yeah. Like,
that's more. Yeah,
his
beater
car died, so he had to ask his parents for help in getting a new cheap car. And they're like, "Oh wow, here's a site you can find something for $19,500." And yeah. I'm like, "Nobody's giving me $19,500. Nobody's giving me like nobody's helping me with that much money."
Yeah.
Nobody ever has in my life given me $20,000.
No.
For nothing.
That's a fucking insane like, money.
But I look around and I'm like, everybody on the road when I'm driving to work has a $60,000 car except for me.
Well,
why
you know,
is that?
A lot of those people are paying a shit ton of money, like way more money for those cars than they originally buy them for. I'm sure their APR is like insane.
But everybody out there, it just feels like everybody's got so much more money than me. When I look,
it does feel that way a lot of time when you're struggling. And I do think a lot of people do have a lot more, but that's why it's nice to talk to people who don't.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you get it. But that's the thing. Like, you start feeling really down about all these things. But I don't know. There are some days where I'm like, I need to make the most of what's going on right now. Like, there are some days where I am positive. And I'm like, okay, let me be fun at work today. Let me be really nice to the customers today. Like, have a good time.
Well, with comedy, at least I get that whole, like, let me just have the best set I can have tonight.
Yeah, have
and
fun.
I'm not, like focused on tomorrow. I'm just living in today.
Yeah.
And I'm just doing what, you know, works when I'm high up there on stage and I'm floundering and I'm in this, like, hamster wheel of Houston comedy.
It is a hamster wheel, but it does feel nice to like kind of fake it till you make it a little bit, like kind of like get into that mindset of being really like high energy, being really happy like about what's going on in your life, even if it sucks.
You can't have everything you want. And whatever you have is never going to be enough, even if it is exactly what you fantasized before you had it.
I think that's also a good thing to remember. Because there's so many times I feel like I'm like, oh, if I just have this, I'll be happy. If I just have this, I'll be great. And that's never the case, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You kind of have to like.
Now that I'm 43, I'm
zen
like,
in the moment.
I'm never going to have like. I was so hot when I was 25,
mm-hmm.
and I just like? Didn't do anything. It did nothing for me, or it did something. Like I got attention for. I was cute as like a gay guy in his 20s, and with like all the hair and like,
but like but a, looking a back nice, now,
like thin little body yeah. and like yeah, I was just like a. Like a little piece, you know, I was like a tasty dish. I was like something special. I walk in the door, people are okay. like, oh, wow, give me some. And
like, but looking back now, like, is that more worthwhile? Like the like everyone wanting you, is that more worthwhile than like knowing what you want?
But that's what now I'm like, oh, God, I gotta get down 20 pounds. I gotta work back to what I was. I gotta like everything would be different if I could just be who I was before.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. Were you confident when you were 25?
No.
Okay, yeah.
I was like, I'm not educated. I don't have a degree.
Did you confident in your looks though?
Yeah.
You were?
Well, actually, no.
I was talking about this with a girlfriend the other day because, like, I was looking back at photos of myself, like, when I was, like, 16, 17, 18, because I was just, like, going through old stuff, you know, reminiscing. And, like, I was like, oh, like, I was really, I love these photos. Like, I look really cute. Like, I was skinny. And I remember back then thinking I was, like, a fat fuck, thinking I was worthless, nothing. Like, I hated myself.
Nobody could
then.
See me. I was like, you know, I only compared myself to people who are more beautiful.
Yes. And I'm like, why did I hate myself so much? I look way worse now. And I know, like, in 5 years, I'm going to look back on me now and be like, why did I feel that way?
Yeah.
I'm like, why do we do that to ourselves?
It's, yeah.
I used to think I was terrible, and I wasn't
that's
bad.
That's one thing I envy Andy for, my boyfriend. He knows he's cute all the time. He's like,
Yeah. But, well, his skin is fantastic. I will say that.
And he's skinny, and he's...
I'm so jealous of him.
He's got an ass, and he's...
He's skinnier than I've ever been.
He's got a...
I know. When he told me his age, I was like, fuck you. I will never look like that.
He's 35 on August 20th. Oh. Little Andy. There's this Dolly Parton song called Me and Little Andy. It's about a little girl who her parents get killed and all she has are
shit.
It's me and my little Andy, or it's her little dog Andy.
She's like,
won't you take us in for the night, me and little Andy? And then she gets turned away from everywhere she goes, and then
Dolly Parton.
Then
song?
She gets killed in a like,
what the it's fuck, like Dolly Parton?
The little kid and the little dog both get killed in a flood or something.
But
it's like a rebuke to the people who wouldn't take the little girl and her tiny dog in for the night when there was like a hurricane storm coming. Listen to me and little Andy. I was thinking, little Andy.
Like, I always thought she was so sweet.
She is sweet.
Some deep songs, man.
All those songs are
like, I was thinking of like 9 to 5.
Country songs are all about breaking your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the
nothing breaks
the
like
a
heart.
Sweater of a Million Colors.
Yeah, that's another song about a child tortured.
But that one's a true story.
No, it's a Bible story. Joseph in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Remember her having an interview where she said her mother like made her a sweater of patched up stuff.
Oh,
maybe it is a Bible story.
It's also the Joseph story.
Shit.
Of the
maybe she lied.
Yeah, maybe
Dolly Parton's a liar.
Maybe her life just mirrors the Bible, and that's how holy she is.
I always like Joanne too.
Jolene.
Fuck.
Yeah, I always like to do that with kisses, where instead of Jolene, I would like hold her feet, you know, and I go toe beans. Toe beans.
Please don't take my man away from me.
Yeah, we're little toe beans.
It's cute.
Oh, well. Little cats. They got little weird, like, paws.
They got cute toe beans.
Yeah.
I wish I had toe beans.
Yeah, I wish I could run fast like a cheetah.
Really?
Yeah. I wish I could, I just wish I could fly like an eagle.
If you could be an animal, what would you be? Would it be a cheetah or an eagle or something else?
Yeah, it'd be a whale.
Why?
Because you get to around the world. You get to go all around the world. And whales are smarter than humans.
Yeah, and they never get eaten by anything else.
They live hundreds of years, and they're smarter than humans, and they communicate with other whales, and they don't need the internet. And they don't need,
I always thought it'd be really nice to be one of the trees in the redwood forest.
Oh, yeah.
They
live for hundreds of years, too.
Hundreds of years. You just get giant and you just chill.
Yeah. I read a book once about people who identify with trees called The Overstory by Richard Powers.
Hmm.
And it was about people trying to protect trees in California who were... who had more kinship with the... Richard Powers is a great novelist, and he writes about popular science, but in a context of these stories. Anyway, I like to read a lot.
Yeah, I know you do.
Okay. I always feel like if I bring up a story, then it feels like I'm a compelling, interesting podcast host.
Really?
Where I just... I'm like, here's a thing I thought of.
I always think... I mean, like, you read a lot, and... I don't know. I feel that you're very intelligent because of how much you read. I think that's like a huge indicator of someone who has a lot of knowledge. I wish I could read as much as you can.
Well, I'm not smart, so I read a lot so that I think
you're very smart. You have a lot of like knowledge behind your belt. You don't always showcase it.
Yeah, I tell jokes about Private Rash from the Army. I knew this guy named Private Rash. We were stationed together.
Wait, his last name is Rash?
Yeah, yeah. And we were
Private
stationed.
Private Rash, wow. Private,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I feel like there's like better places to go with that. Because that fake name. There's better
places. That's a great name, Private Rash, you know? You can't get. That's comedy gold right there. Yeah, you can't get a lot of comedy out of Native Americans who dip a baby in
boiling oil. Yeah, but, yeah, you know what went bad last week was I was talking about Private Rash. We were stationed together at Fort Fart.
Okay, that's not real.
Named after General Fart.
No.
The Confederate general who was appointed to, fight the war. Yeah, you know the war.
No, I don't. Yeah. I've never heard of the war. What is war?
The War of Northern Aggression. You know, like.
Are you telling me? You ever heard of the Civil War?
You ever heard of the War of Northern Aggression? And the Confederate hero Fort, General Fart.
I've never heard of General Fart. No.
Yeah, and
I'm so sorry to say.
He was appointed by President Fillmore Butts. It was. Do you remember Fillmore?
Okay. We're doing this now. I get it.
Do you believe that that joke didn't work on stage?
I do.
Do you believe that nobody liked that?
You know what? People don't understand true comedy. Yeah. They don't get it.
I feel like there's a lot of gatekeepers in this town who, like...
So many gatekeepers.
Like, who's marginalize me because of what I say.
Who's your least favorite gatekeeper, Bob?
And it's, like, too political, and it keeps me down. And,
Who's the booker that you wish death upon?
No, nobody.
I'm kidding.
I've been a bad booker myself. I booked a lot of bad shows. I've had a lot of...
You can do better. I will say that.
You think
we
I could?
We talked about this earlier tonight.
Okay, I could do better. Mm-hmm. But I don't expect perfection. I just expect something genuine.
No, I don't think you should expect perfection for any comedy show. That's just not doable. Yeah. But there is something to booking good, consistent people. People who are consistently good.
Yeah. And, yeah, like collaborate with... people who, I should have had, we should have done better.
I know you run the show with other people. You can talk to them too. Like,
no. Our shows, like, I'm talking about, like running a lot of shows, mm-hmm. I just, like, it sometimes becomes like, oh, who's around?
I just
gotta get somebody up. Just like, okay, do you want to do this on Thursday? You're around a lot. I'll ask you because you're here, and not because I just know you'll be here on Thursday.
Yeah, but you can message people ahead of time. That's
I know, but sometimes you got a lot of stuff. Like a lot of irons on the fire.
You can sit down and book an entire month in one day.
True. Yeah, a lot of times people forget that you booked them a month ago.
Yeah, but that's why I keep a Google Doc of people I booked, and then I make group chats like 2 weeks ahead of time usually, and be like, everyone's still cool, and if someone's not cool, then I message another person that I think is good.
I think 3 days is like appropriate for the group chat, like 3 days ahead of time.
Really? I do it way far in advance because I need the headshots and all this stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, put some,
put some thought into it.
Yeah, put some care into your show. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, give, like, if it's a show where somebody's asking for information and headshots and, like, then I'm more likely to invite people if I'm not, and I'm less likely to just forget it the day of.
That's why I love having like the individual headshots for TNA, because people are like, oh, here's a flyer with just me on it, my name and the show name, and it's like I have people share their like single headshots all the time, which is
really nice. Yeah. You did fuckery night, and it was everybody bring an item from childhood.
Show and tell.
Bring in something from your childhood, and then to promote the show, you said like send in like a childhood photo.
Yeah.
And it was called Fuckery Night with all these kids. Like, it was like childhood photos with like with the word Fuckery Night over it with like a little 5-year old.
I did get some shit for that, and I was like, okay, I'm sorry. If you think this is kids are getting fucked on the show, like please don't come.
Come out Tuesday for Fuckery Night. We've got 5-year olds.
We've got 6 grown adults, but here's the kid photos.
Yeah.
I it did look a little weird, but I will say it was a fun show. What I really liked about that show is it was an awesome show concept that Dusty Rhodes came up with. I was like, what should we do for Fuckery Night? And she was like, we should do a show and tell show. And I was like, it's fucking great. And I was really happy with it because every single person on the show brought an object that was completely different than everyone else. Like, no one had a repeat object.
Yeah.
Like, no one else, you know, like, one person brought a stuffed animal. I was expecting, like, multiple people to be...
I brought one, but I also brought the sweater.
You got a sweater. That was, like, your main thing. Like, Hannah brought teeth, which was really funny. Dusty brought a blanket. We had a diaper. We had a psychological analysis.
Oh, Luis? That was interesting. It was a little bit of a rough audience for that particular show.
They were rowdy.
Like not the people you would have wanted for a show about childhood and doing something to divulge your vulnerabilities. And
they were, I mean, most of the people were like there for it, but there was like a front row that had been there for the previous show and they were all really drunk. But they kind of left by the end, which I was happy about. And I'm glad Dusty was there, because I'm not great. I'm not the best when it comes to, like, rowdy audience members.
I'm just worst. I'm terrible with confrontation in general, which is strange for stand-up is a little bit, like, confrontational very often. But, like, in my personal life, I just really don't like going up to people and saying, like, hey, you know what? That's not right. Hey, you did this. I don't like it. I could never be a manager because I don't like saying, hey, you know what?
You're this fucking up. Yeah.
This isn't working. You're that was bad. Like, I don't but I've had to
have you ever had to fire somebody at a job?
No, but I had to tell somebody to stop coming to the open mic that I was running because he was scaring people by talking about shooting everybody when he was on stage seemed weird enough to his name's Sam Oren Palmer.
Oh, okay.
And he used to write abusive messages all the time to everybody who was a showrunner in Houston. And he was real bad at comedy.
Yeah.
And then when he would go on stage, he would act like, I'm a psycho. And I was terrifying. You're proving to me that you actually are a psycho by it's not just an act. And he's like, no, I'm just kidding. And I'm like,
are you? Because you keep talking about
it. I know that, but nobody watching you knows that. So that's why I got to say you're the only person I've ever told to not come back to an open mic.
Yeah.
And there have been a lot of people that I just didn't like a lot that I'm like, well, then keep coming back.
Keep trying, baby.
It'll work someday because it does work. Sometimes it works like that where people who aren't your fave.
Yeah, well, but with an open mic, you can't necessarily curate it unless it's like a email list. But yeah, there are some comics where like I've watched them, and I'll never tell someone if they offended me. I'll never like tell someone they can't do a joke that they're doing. But there are some people that have definitely made me uncomfortable with their material, which is weird as a comic. I'll never be like, fuck you, or you can't say that. I'll just be like, okay, I'm going to stay away. Like, there's been some comics where they do, like, I saw a comic the other night that did, like, 10 minutes of material on fucking underage girls. And I was like, dude, like,
I know you're not fucking underage girls.
Yeah. I know you're not, but like, you're talking about it for this long. Like, it's starting to get weird to talk about the age of consent for 14-year-olds for this long. It's like, okay, let's maybe lighten it up. Let's make people laugh. Like, it's, I don't want to hear that for 10 minutes. Yeah. Maybe like a minute of that material. Sure. Like, that can make me laugh.
I've seen people do like
bit.
Really openly homophobic stuff that I know they would say with an apology and a Montrose audience.
Mm-hmm.
But I could just, I could envision them in Conroe or Bryan, Texas.
Oh, yeah. Just
not
killing.
Apologizing for their open homophobia with regard to Bud Light or whatever. And
there's some really
uncomfortable. Oh, you're not fooling me with your cover up there at the end of your joke. I see what you're like relying on to make the audience laugh, and it's like kind of like pisses me off.
Yeah, and like, honestly, it's fucking hacky, especially for audiences like that. I've also seen a lot of comics like honestly in Austin that are like really incel-y, and they just, you know, it's all like, bitches, this woman's a fucking cunt, and I'm like, okay, you can talk about women. Like, that's totally fine.
Yeah. See, when I started...
But it's so cringy. It's just cringy. It's not even a joke. You're just so angry at whoever just broke your heart that you just want to say bitch and cunt over and over again. And there's no joke in there. You're just, like, letting other guys in the audience who are also angry be happy for a second.
See, when I started comedy about 11 years ago, I was part of a little team that, like, would always do the edgiest jokes. And we called ourselves the Assault Squad.
That's terrifying.
We were the Assault Squad, you know, Assault Squad comedy. And
who was in that group?
It was like me and Dusty and...
Is this the Assault Squad or people who have been Assaulted Squad? What's going on?
It wasn't Dusty, but like, I wrote some Assault Squad jokes. Do you want to hear one?
Yeah, what's
okay,
up?
Okay, so it's not rape if they're already dead. Assaulted.
That's terrible. Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know, it's not cheating if they're underage.
Yeah, it's rape.
It's actually rape. It's rape. Assaulted. Woo!
Yeah, please don't do this on stage.
Assault Squad. Strikes again, and then they all got busted for rape. So, like, I'm like, you know, like, I don't want to say their names,
I know who they are. That's okay. Like, you don't call me.
You know, but we were like a cool team.
Is that cool?
It was fun at the time. I mean, you know, just put yourself back in that place.
I always say, like, I really don't want to get raped, so I always say yes.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, nobody can rape you if you say yes. If you consent, guess what? You're not getting raped, baby.
Nobody can rape you if you just take it. Baby, assaulted. Assault Squad.
You trying to rape me? I'm into it now, bitch. Guess what? It's not rape anymore. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give it to me, baby. Uh-huh.
That's terrible. Right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's their fantasy. That's every rapist's fantasy.
Well,
I bet a true rapist
would hate if you said yes. Yeah, like, so I always figured if you were a true rapist and you try to rape me and I said yes, you would get soft. And then I'd be like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah. I've never tried that.
That you never tried rape?
No, I've never tried that tactic when it's getting raped.
I've never been raped. Cross my heart. As long as I found wood. Is this wood?
It's fake.
Fuck. Shit.
It's varnished.
Is this wood over here?
Seems like it.
We'll knock on that. Okay. We'll make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Mmm. Yeah. Yep. I talked about it a couple years ago on a podcast where I was just like free associative improv, like subconscious dredging, joking with a guest on the podcast. And then I just brought up the fact that when I was 19, I found myself in San Francisco with no money at all at a bus station And the security guard at the Greyhound bus station said he could help me, and he called my mom and got her to wire some money over so that I could get a bus for the next day. And he's like, come stay at my in my room. And he's like, let's drink some booze. And he like drugged me. And then when I went to sleep, I had a dream about sitting on an upside down bar stool. And then when I woke up, his dick was in my ass. And it was my first gay sex, was getting like drugged and raped by a gross dude at a, from a bus station.
I'm so sorry.
And then I told this as like a punchline.
Oh, fuck. I got raped. Isn't that hilarious? Hey, you ever dream that you're sitting in an upside down stool and then you rape?
It's actually a guy with his dick in your ass. And that happened to me.
Yeah.
But I dissociated from it, and it like kept me closeted for a couple more years. And I joined the army after that, and I was like super closeted in the army.
Yeah.
And it was. I probably wouldn't have joined the army if I didn't get raped when I was 19.
Really?
I think, man.
Well, that's a terrible place to go after you've been raped. I'll be honest with you.
Oh. Well, this has been the Healing Club.
Oh, no. Do you feel healed? Do you, I don't know. Do you feel healed from that experience at all, or still?
I'm not mad because it was a pretty, you know, I don't remember the dude really well.
Yeah.
But that was one of those smelly dicks that I do remember. That was one of those smelly dicks I could pick out in a lineup. It was one of those horrible.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, that was like, I don't have dick amnesia for that one.
Oh, yeah. You don't remember that one forever. That's a trauma. Trauma dick, for sure. But fuck him.
Well, I hope he's dead now. I
bet
he is. I hope
someone beat the shit out of that guy.
I bet he's old enough to be dead now, because that was a long time ago. And
I'll tell you this, I fucking hate rapists. Okay? Yeah, I know that's a little controversial, but rapists should die. Dude, fuck that guy. And I'm really sorry that that happened to you.
It was a kind of like it fucked me up for many years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm all right now. I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
I hope you are. I hope that guy is fucking dead in a ditch somewhere.
Well, yeah, probably.
Jesus, he probably did that to a lot of fucking people, being a security guard at fucking Greyhound. Anyway.
Yeah, I bet a lot of people didn't even mind that much.
Did you? I mean...
Yeah, I was
I bet a lot of people did mind.
Yeah, I bet they were asking for it, though. I bet they were kind of like...
No, you're at a Greyhound bus late at night. What did you expect? You're going to get something in your ass.
I bet it was, like, pretty predictable.
I mean, most people at a Greyhound bus get something up their ass, you know?
Yeah. You smoke a tie stick, and you talk to some stranger who says he can help you, or, you know?
Fucking shit. You called your mom, too?
Yeah.
Fucking dickhead.
Well... It's been the Healing Club.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
Thanks, Tess. Tess again. And I hope your parents don't think I'm weird after this one. I don't know. Do they listen to this?
I don't think they listen to my podcast episodes anymore that I do.
Oh, good.
They're like, we learn too much about you when we do those.
Yeah,
so.
I don't want to know. And my boyfriend doesn't listen to these either. So
good.
I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Fuck yeah.
I can say whatever the fuck I... Yeah, no holds barred. All right. Well, that's the end. Thanks, Tess. Again, in TNA at the Secret Group on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock.
Come see me.
And come out to my shows Mondays, alternate Mondays at the Secret Group, 8 o'clock. And then every Thursday at Goddammit. Every Thursday at Avant Garden is Goddammit. Goddammit at Avant Garden, goddammit. It's goddammit on Thursdays, 8 o'clock at Avant Garden. Goddammit, come out to that show. And also, you know, thank you for being here and for being, you know, my friend.
Thank you for being my friend.
All right. Let's go to bed. All right, bye.